prayer in the last 2 weeks, we have been shown a picture of the church in its infancy, in its purity, when it first came into the world, when it was measured by the reed, the Word of God, as we studied it in chapter 11. Then in chapter 12, as a woman that appeared clothed in the sun, with the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And we said in that chapter how this woman was attacked by the dragon that stood before the devil. The Roman Empire, in its imperial form, at the time that the church was established, ready to devour its members as they came into the church. We studied as this woman was driven, this church, into the wilderness of ignorance, superstition, false teaching, darkness, spiritual confusion, by taking away the light of the gospel, hiding it in dead language, which it stayed for 1260 years before the light was brought back to it and it began to merge, be visible again upon the earth. In this 13th chapter today, we see a more vivid picture, description of the power that drove it into the wilderness, that caused all these things to come upon the church. John speaks of a beast coming up out of the sea that would war against the saints. They would blaspheme the word of God, his name, the church, and them that dwell therein. He said in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." John says, "I stood on the sand of the sea." Symbolically, in this revelation, we have established the fact that the sea usually represents the religious part of the world, the church. This beast that John saw came up out of the religious part of the world. It came up out of the church. The beast is a kingdom. Daniel says so in the 7th chapter of Daniel's prophecy. He tells us that this beast is a kingdom. It is the 7th power, the 7th form of government of the Roman Empire. We studied last Sunday that dragon that stood before the woman, ready to devour her child as soon as he was born. We said that was the Roman Empire. 7 heads, 10 horns. This beast today has the same number of heads, the same number of horns. We said that that 7 heads represents 7 forms of government. The Roman Empire started as a kingdom. It had a king. It was known as the Latin kingdom. After kings, it had dictatorship. After the dictatorship, it had decemvirs, a government ruled by a group of people like a congress. After that, it had military tribune. And after that, a consul form of government. After that, imperial. That is the form of government that was in power when Christ came into the world, when his church was established. There is one more to come, and that is the papal form of government. That is this beast that came up out of the sea, up out of the church. The Roman Empire was a political government. In the 4th century, the emperor of that empire was converted, at least nominally so, into the church. He became religious. Then a power came up out of the church that formed the government of that empire and became the papal form of government. Upon his head was blasphemy. There has never been a more blasphemous power in the world than the papal government of the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope claims infallibility, something that belongs only to the God of heaven. He assumes such titles as Lord God the Pope. He claims to be able to forgive sins. Many other blasphemous claims that he makes, no man on earth can do. That power belongs to God through his Son Jesus Christ. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. He was spotted. He was both political and religious. His feet were as the feet of a bear. He had strength like that. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. He was destructive, bloodthirsty. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Remember that dragon we studied last Sunday. That imperial government of the Roman Empire. He gave the Pope, he gave the papal form of government his power, his seat, his place. Great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded, dead. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. I'm going to be very brief in my explanation of this verse. I want to say more about it when we get into chapter 17. About this deadly wound to one of the heads. But if I understand the history, when the Roman Empire first became religious, when the power was first transferred to the papal form, the Pope, it only lasted for a short time. And then there was conflict between the political and the religious form. The political form won out and put down the Pope. He lost his power. A wound there, he said, to one of the heads. But it was restored some 100 to 150 years later by King Charles of England, and has ruled in the empire of Roman government ever since. But has lost much of the power since the days of the Reformation in Europe that he once had when he ruled the world. But all the world wondered after the beast. He became so strong, so powerful, till the whole world followed after him. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped the beast, said, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In worshipping the dragon that gave his power to the beast, worshipping the beast, they worshipped both of them combined. It was a combined government, church and state. He said, who's like to them? Who's like to the beast? Who can make war with them? There was a time when no king on earth dared to go to war unless the Pope was on his side. It lasted that way for hundreds of years. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. We have already mentioned the type of blasphemies, claiming powers that he doesn't have, that belong to God, putting himself up, as Paul said in the second chapter of the second Thessalonian letter, as God, showing himself that he is God, pretending to be God. No greater form of blasphemy can be known than that. A great mouth speaking great blasphemy. Power was given to him to continue 42 months. 40 and 2 months converted to days, and you have 1260 days. Take Daniel and Ezekiel's manner of counting prophecy, time, a day for a year, and you have 1260 years. That was exactly the same length of time that the Dark Ages lasted. The time that we studied in chapter 11 when the Word of God, the reed, was not used to measure the church. The time that we said it in chapter 12, that the church was in the wilderness. The two witnesses were not allowed to prophesy only in sackcloth. Their prophecy was hidden, dead language. The world was in spiritual darkness because the Bible was unknown to anyone except those who wanted to dominate and wanted to rule the world. 42 months, 1260 days. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The church and the people that dwell in it, all of them were blasphemed. I've lost my place up on the page, I think. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power was given him to overcome the saints. How did he overcome the saints? By taking away from them the only staff of life, the Word of God. The only hope that the Christian has is in the Word of God. When he took that away, there was nothing left. Nothing for them to look forward to, nothing to fight. And he ruled the world. Kindred, tongues, nations became subject to it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There were a few people that would not worship. They gave their life. That's all they could get. But they didn't worship. Because their names is written in the Lamb's book of life. If any man have ear, let him hear. How many times we find that statement in the scriptures? Christ used it in the gospel. In the second and third chapter of Revelation, in each one of the seven letters, the seven churches, we have that statement. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here it only says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. It's important that we get this, that we hear, that we know the meaning of it. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. In other words, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that is going to reap. This power that we're talking about here is powerful. It was successful. It dominated the world. But let's read it again. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Here is the hope of Christianity. Here is the anchor of the Christian soul. Because it's only temporary. Whatever can be done to us in this life, whatever can be taken from us, as long as we have that Lamb's name in our forehead, as long as we have our name in His book of life, it will be reconciled. It will be recompensed. And I beheld another of these coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And let us notice that first beast came up out of the sea. He came up out of the church. He was religious. A religious power. But he took over the political power from the imperial. But here we have one coming up out of the earth. What does that mean? Up out of the political kingdoms of men. He had two heads. Two horns. Meaning two heads of gold. The devil form of government. The only nation that will fit that in history is England. Britain and Scotland, a twin power that one time had more power, political power, than any power on earth. More possession came up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He was innocent. He was religious. He was Giddy, giddy. But he spoke like a dragon. He spoke with power. He was a great political power. He was a grafter. Had it known? Interest at heart. But he joined forces with this power government. Let us notice how he did. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, who did the womb with him. He didn't come up and pick war with this beast. He didn't try to fight him, to put him down. No, he joined forces with it and caused all the world to worship the beast. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth and the sight of men. He did false miracles. But how did he make fire come down from heaven? The word of God is spoken of symbolically in more places in the Bible than a few as fire. It is that that tries the soul of men. He made fire come down from heaven. How did he do that? He allowed the Bible to be translated back out of a dead language into a living language. Several countries, several people, individuals had secretly translated the Bible into living language during the Dark Ages before this translation we're talking about right here. But it was secretly, it was individually done. But we're talking about a political power that granted the Bible to be translated back into living language. King James of England authorized the King James Version of the Bible we have today. Furnished the scholars and the money to do it. Gave the word of God back to people, thinking he would deceive them into believing that he'd be good to them. Doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth and the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. He said, now you should make an image to that beast. And this he did, just exactly that. In the Church of England, he made a church that was an image to the Roman church because it was exactly like it. And the only people that could worship God had to worship exactly like the Roman church. Or they couldn't be. Their religion was not alike. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. That is, he gave it power, made it alive. That the image of the beast should both speak, it made laws. It spoke. And caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I did not know until a few years ago that this actually happened in history. But this can be confirmed. This can be confirmed in the history of the European countries. That this actually happened. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. I skipped the verse. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. That don't leave anybody out there. Small, great, rich and poor, free and bond. Everybody. He causes them to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. The right hand is what we make our living with. The forehead is what we worship with. It is our understanding. We all have to receive that mark. And that no man might buy or sell. This was the penalty. Save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now then, let us notice verse 18. Here is wisdom. Here is the need of wisdom. Here is the task for the scholar. The illiterate, the unlearned man cannot figure this thing out. I'm not saying that I'm a learned man. I have taken advantage of the learning of other people. I'm thankful for the sources from which I learned this. But let us notice how this works out. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. All my life I've heard people talk about this number, 666, and what it means. And I've heard a half a dozen or more different explanations of it. But I believe I have the correct explanation of this, and it came from reliable sources. As I mentioned earlier, the Roman Empire that once ruled the world for hundreds of years began as a kingdom. It began as a Latin kingdom. And it had its first king, a man named Latinus, spelled L-A-T-E-I-N-O-S. Eight letters. All of the languages spoken in Bible times by the Bible countries is either Greek or Hebrew. Both languages had a vocabulary that their letter system, each letter in their alphabet counted for a number. You can take the word Latinus in the Greek language and spell it L, I've got it written down over here, I better check it before I try to get it. L is 30. H, A is 1. T is 300. E is 5. I is 10. N is 50. D is 70. S is 200. Add that up and we have 666. Then we take the city where all this happened, Rome. And we spell it in the Hebrew tongue. We spell Latinus in the Greek tongue. We spell Rome in the Hebrew tongue. R is 170. O, 193. M is 102. E is 201. Add it up and you have 666. I believe that we have in that form of spelling the answer to that number. 666. We have the kingdom, we have the city, we have the man. And let us notice it's the number of a man. It doesn't mean one individual man. No man lives forever. We're talking about a perpetual thing. Who is that man? It is a man of a position that is helped by a man. It is the Pope of Rome. That ruled the world for 1260 years. He is still ruling over many, many people today. He rules spiritually over a large percentage of the world. He doesn't rule politically near as much as he one time did, but he rules politically today far more than a whole lot of people realize he does. He has a great influence in the country in which we live today that we call the freest country in the world. There is an influence in our government. There is an influence in almost every government, but not like it used to be. His back has been broken. He's losing power more every year. And as we read in this verse, in this chapter today, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth by the sword shall be killed by the sword. His days are numbered. Now, before I leave this, I want to say it's not my intent to be critical. To criticize any person, anybody's religion, for the purpose of criticism as such. It's a very unpopular thing in the world in which we live today to speak against anybody's religion. It is especially a no-no to call names. But let me tell you something. If the Word of God be true, that's all we have to live on, That's all we have in which to place our hope. Names will fall. Anything that is not given by God. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. These things will have an end. As I said, we read in this chapter, here is the faith. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Here is the hope of a Christian. Here is the anchor of our soul. If we stick with the Word of God, it's been restored to us that we have languages adaptable to our wants and understanding. We can read and understand. If we live by it, if we're faithful to it, there's only one thing that people can do here except persecute us. They can kill us. But when the time comes, the Son of Man comes back, as we've already studied in recent chapters, when that last trump sounds, Jesus comes back, claim his honor, to judge the world, deliver that kingdom up to God. These things will be gone. These powers that he's talking about, they won't have any power. The scripture says, there's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. God gets ready for it, it goes. When the Spirit leaves the body, we're dead. When we're dead, one man is just as powerful as the other. There's no difference in the grave.